Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. When you have it, please say amen. After Psalms, after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah chapter 40, and I will be reading from verses 28 through 31, and I'm reading from the New King James. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Yes. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, yes, and the young men shall utterly fall. Yes. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Good morning, fellow ministers.
Good morning.
And I intently and with intention said that because everyone that's born in the kingdom of God is born as a missionary. That means you are just fellow ministers for God. I want to bring you greetings from my wife. She could not be here today. I notice you welcome her, however, in the bulletin. And she's in the process of retiring on me. So she is spending her last few days on the job and trying to tie things up on that end. I think I want to also let you know that I'm very happy to be here today. I need to just explain something because some of you have been waiting and waiting and waiting. When is this fellow going to get here? Well, I want you to know that we are still in the process of working things out so that I will have the needed resources when we come to the Capital District. Friends, I'm not coming to the Capital District to play, but by God's grace, we plan by His grace to do great things for God. And you know, with five churches that have been assigned, you need to have the proper resources. And so I am hard, fast negotiating so we can have the proper resources. And so to Pastor Langley and elders and church officers and visitors and friends, I just want you to keep us in your prayers. And I'm excited today. I want you to know that I'm just excited to be here. I see so many of the faces that were here 12 years ago when we got started. You know, you have a very even a sentimental spot in my heart. Just when I walk in and see those faces and to see that you are still here at the Joy of Troy, and I'm looking forward to doing things. But I'm excited this morning for three things, for three reasons. One, I'm excited and passionate about being here this morning because of the length of years that I've been able to serve God's church, and it has not, my fervor for the gospel has not ceased, not even one iota. I'm here because of my length of service. Do you realize next month there'll be 42 years in ministry? And I want you to know that God has placed a vision in my heart, in my mind, for ministry here, and I'm excited about that. And so I just can't get settled in, and I have some working documents that I passed to Pastor Langley to look over and to share with you to see if we can put together what you're doing and what God has put in my heart. See if we can merge them and do great things for God in the Capital District. That's what I'm looking forward to doing. The second reason is because you're probably going to, is legacy. I said length of service, legacy. You're probably going to be the last professional assignment that I will have in ministry, because I feel that, you know, after, I probably wouldn't be accepting another assignment once I leave the Capital District, because I'm hoping to go to self-support ministry where I'll be more focused. And one of the things I want to focus on is reaching out to those churches that are what I call endangered congregations. And hopefully I'm going to be organizing a program called Project second wind, to reach out to those churches that are dying or that are just not making it. And that's what I hope to spend my so-called, they say, retirement years, but you never retire from ministry, friends. You never do. And the third one is lost people. I'm excited and passionate about people and so determined to reach out to them that I'm more than ever are going to lead you into using God's unique gifts. That he's, do you know God has given the Seventh-day Adventist Church some unique gifts in order to reach the world for Christ? And one of them is what I just mentioned. In the Seventh-day Adventist Church, God has said through the writings of Ellen G. White that everyone that's born in the kingdom is born as a missionary. Can you imagine if this church ever catch on to that fact? If we got maybe 40 people out there, that means there are 40 or 50 ministers sitting right here right now. Boy, if we ever catch on to that fact, we would finish the work. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to lead you into carrying out that part of the mission. The second thing that God has given us is small groups. Many churches have small groups, but God has said to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the one who cannot err has shown me that small groups are to be the basis of missionary efforts. That's how you are to launch the missionary efforts. So we hope to focus on that. And the third one is one that we all but give lip service to, and that is the medical missionary work ought to be the leading edge, for it is the right arm of the gospel. And I'm so thankful to see that you are beginning to try to fully establish it, but I want to see that fully established. In fact, that ought to be our first work, because it is the leading edge of the gospel, and you ought to say amen. Amen. And so, friends, because of the length of years, because of legacy, and because of lost people, I'm excited about being reassigned to the Capital District. I want you to know I'm not the same little guy that left here 12 years ago. A lot of experiences have happened, and we're looking forward to laboring together and even doing things different. You know, many of us don't like that word change, but we're going to be changing some things, doing things different, I should say. And the reason why is because when you think in terms of that, the graying of the church, we're going to have to do things different if we're going to reach a new generation for Christ. That generation, especially between 18 to 25-year-olds, we call them the millennials. They are usually not in the church. And I talk with other denominations that are having that same problem. So we're going to need to do something to reach those. We look forward to that. And so, continue to pray that we'll be able to get everything settled. I was hoping to meet with our new conference president, but as you have just heard announced, the one that was elected, he has declined to accept the office. So we're kind of like starting from the beginning again. And so, pray along with, I will be praying along with you, so that we can see if God will move the process along a little faster, so that the work of God can move with leaps and bounds. I'll be able to garner the necessary resources, and then let's sail for Jesus Christ and leading souls to the altar. Amen. My message today is entitled, When God Makes Us Wait Before Answering Our Prayers. Let me just have an added word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we open the scriptures now, I ask for your grace and for your power. I pray that the message today will reach hearts, that you will touch the hearts of those that are listening here today, here in this sanctuary, as well as those who may be listening by way of internet. We pray that you will bless them too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When God makes us wait. You know, friends, all of us have had the awesome challenge of waiting for God to answer our prayers. Many of us have been praying prayers and we haven't seen the answer. And you often begin to wonder, why does God make us wait when you've been praying for a job that you so badly need? What do I do? Maybe today there's someone that's in college and you're struggling. And you've been praying that the Lord would help you to get out of this difficult course. And somehow you're still struggling. What do you do in the meantime? Maybe today there's someone, you've been looking for a mate. You've been kind of lonely and you wanted a companion. You see all your friends, I have people that are married. And you've been waiting and praying, Lord, send the right girl or send the right fella in my life that's a Christian that could be my mate. And you've been waiting and waiting. What do you do when things like that happen? Maybe someone has a family member, and I heard a few in the prayers, that's in intensive care, or in a hospital, or that's struggling with a chronic disease, and you've been asking God for healing for that person, and somehow you're still waiting, and nothing has happened. Maybe there's a parent here today, you have a wayward son, or a wayward daughter, or you have a husband, or a wife that once was a member of the church, and they have drifted away from God, and you've been on your knees, night after night, praying that they would come back to God and come back to the church, but God hasn't answered that prayer yet. What do you do when God makes you wait? Oh, friends, I want you to know today there may be someone else that has been praying for the members who are outside the church to return. There are many that should be here this morning, but they your prayers haven't been answered yet. The question is this morning is, why does God make us wait before answering our prayers? Why is it that he requires us to pray in the first place, you may ask? For he knows what we already need before we ask. Why would God have us, quote unquote, to beg him for some of our needs? Since he loves us so much, why doesn't he simply give us what we need? But somehow he makes us wait. And why does he do this? Friend, there are several reasons I want to suggest this morning. I want to suggest there are several reasons why God often times make us wait before answering our prayers. You know, when we think about it, we are constantly looking for God to answer our prayers. The first thing is, friends, I want to suggest this morning that God often makes us wait because he uses our prayers to have conversation with us. And sometimes God just makes us wait because he wants us to initiate a conversation with him. You know, all of us are aware of this classic statement from the writings of Ellen G. White, page 93 of the book Steps to Christ, and here's what it says. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a what? Friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to him. In other words, prayer, as we've just read, is not necessary in order to tell God what we need. He already knows what you need. But it says it's like talking to a friend. In other words, friends, sometimes God makes us wait because he simply just wants to have conversation with you. I remember taking my oldest son to Pine Forge Academy where he was attending, and usually when I go up there to pick him up at the end of the school year, at the Christmas time, he would somehow invariably be in a basketball game playing with his friends, and I'm sitting in the car waiting to finish. Oh, one more round, Dad, just this one. And he played basketball and what have you. Then after he has tied himself out, he then comes to the car, put his stuff in the car, and we had a six-hour drive, and then he would let the seat back, and the boy would literally sleep. And so I would say, how about your school, son? He said, fine. I said, did you do well in history? Okay. And I said, well, tell me a little bit, how did that play that you all were planning? How did that go? It went well. And no. And yeah. And that's all the conversation had. And I'm sitting there driving 6 hours down the road, and guess what I want the boy to do? I want to talk to me. After all, you've been gone for 3 months, and he would not have conversation with me. And sometimes we do God the same way. If God would just give us everything we need, we would never take time to have conversation with him. I remember my daughter-in-law, my granddaughter called one time, and she's a little, she was around 7, 8 years old, and she would get on the phone, Grandma, Grandpa, you know how they go. It's good. I miss you, and I want to talk to you. And I said, what are you wearing today? She said, oh, I'm wearing a blue jacket. I says, how was your school today? Oh, it was fine. And I says, what grade are you in? She said, I'm in third or fourth grade. Now, friends, did I know the answer to all those questions I was asking her? Absolutely, I knew the answer, but I'm just asking her questions on the telephone because I want to keep her on the phone because I want to have what? Conversation with her. Friends, sometimes God just wants to do that. He lets us wait. He already knows your need, but he wants to talk with you. He wants to have conversation with you. And so when God makes us wait, I wonder how often we would fail to have conversation with God if it were not for prayer and sometimes the waiting time that God causes us to have. And so today, that's why Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In others, by prayer and supplication. Even that word supplication, some of you may not be aware of, it means a pouring out. It comes from the Greek word, which means like you pour water out of a pitcher. Sometimes even by prayer, sometimes you've got to spend time talking with God, even in supplication, just pouring out yourself to God. Let our requests be known to God. And that simply is because God says, I want you to talk to you. I want you to talk to me. And I talk back to just to have conversation. So could it be, friend, today, that prayer that you've been praying and is because God simply says, keep on talking to me, and I will then answer that prayer. Amen. Let me give you a second suggestion. I'm suggesting today that God often make us wait simply because he wants to engage us in dialogue so there'll be a meeting of the minds, to engage us in dialogue. You know, if Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in whom? Christ Jesus. You see, friends, do you realize that when two people talk together, their mind merge? No person is exactly the same after talking together with one another. Communication between individuals causes a merging of the minds that is impossible to prevent. Have you ever used the expression, we talk and there was a meeting of the minds? And that's why sometimes God wants us to pray, because he wants to have a meeting of the mind with us, that dialogue. You know, by the way, friend, that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. When we have prayer with God, there's that dialogue. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, I wanted to say, with Eve. You know, after talking with Lucifer, you remember when she got left Adam's side and began to stray, all of us saw this beautiful tree, and then the serpent started doing what? Talking to her. And then she started talking back to the serpent. And then there was this dialogue going back and forth. And after a while, after the dialogue went back and forth, there was a meeting of the mind. She began to say the same thing. Well, this is, you know, God says that we shouldn't eat it and of this fruit. And then as she dialogued back and forth, let's turn to Genesis 3 and just verse 6, a very familiar verse, but I just like reading the word of God on Sabbath morning. Genesis 3 and verse 6 says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her." Notice how passionate she became when she started dialoguing with the devil. In fact, it says that who told her that the tree will make her wise? Who told her all of these things? It all happened in that conversation that she was having with Satan. And so, friends, I want you to know, I submit to you, a major reason that God often chooses not to supply our needs right away, apart from our asking, because he knew that his influence on us will be immeasurable if our minds could meet and merge in prayer. Oh, my friends, so if you've been struggling through some matter and praying with God, keep on talking to God, and God will keep on talking to you, and after a while, the same mind that was in Jesus Christ will be in you, for that's what God wants to happen today. Can you say amen? Amen. Yes, friends. And so that's why we need to guard our daily devotion. That's where we have that meeting of the mind. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed." How often? Day by day. We talked about that in my Sabbath school, one of the Sabbath school classes. And so that's why. Have you been missing daily renewal? Have you been missing your conversation with God? And I want you to know, friends, all kinds of things will come up so that we will miss that dialogue with God. We get so busy and things happen. But God says, then I often just will allow you to wait because I want to have that dialogue with you so there will be a meeting of a mind. What difference a day can be when there is a meeting of the mind with God. And so not only does God want to have conversation to engage us in dialogue, but a third thing is that God often make us wait because he wants to have fellowship with us. You know, I did some mission work in Africa, and it was time to come home. And I saw some little statues and little carvings of ivory and things that I wanted. And so I was in a bread shop, and I didn't know how to, you know, the value of things. I just know that you get a lot of their money for a few dollars. In fact, you get a big stack of money. This was in Mozambique. And this man was there, and he was a tradesman, and he wanted to sell me some souvenirs. And when I look at the price, someone told me, "Oh, don't you get it from that man? That's an astronomical amount of money." He said, "I'll come to your house and I'll come and I'll bring some souvenirs that you can pick out." That was my first mistake, because he showed up at 10 o'clock that day, and he had a carpet on his back, and he spread it out in the front of the lawn where I was staying at the mission compound. He spread it out. And he sat down, and he invited me to sit down. And I looked at the things that he wanted to sell me, and they were even at a higher price than I saw before. I says, no way, I'm going to buy this from you. You made me miss what I could have gotten cheaper. And so I went to go back to the house. He said, "Oh, no, come here, make a deal. And so I sat down, so I gave him a price where I wanted. He said, "Oh, no way I can do that." And so he's getting ready to think, by the time I wanted this thing, and he's getting ready to walk away. And I said, "I tell you what, I'll try to make a deal with you." So he came back, he sat down. To make a long story short, I was introduced to haggling. I didn't know about that. And I didn't know that haggling from 10 o'clock, and I finally made my deal by 3 o'clock. And that's the way haggling goes. You just go back and forth and back and forth. You walk away and back and forth. And after a while, friend, the very man that I thought I disliked, I got to like him, because in haggling, we develop a fellowship. And friends, sometimes God makes us wait because he wants to have fellowship with us. He just wants us to be there as friends. And by the way, friends, the word communion, that's what communion means. Communion means fellowship. And I want you to know there are some people, when they see a communion is announced, they don't show up. They don't have fellowship with God. And I can see why God sometimes says, I'll just have to have you to wait, because I want you to have fellowship. Yes, God could have given us our needs, since he already knows them. But God knew that there was much more, and it would be much more enjoyable way for us to get our needs when we have fellowship with him. Perhaps the richest thing about prayer is not the receiving of our requests, but the means whereby we receive it, and that is through fellowship. I have a little scripture from 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and I'm reading it from the Message paraphrase, and I don't use this particular paraphrase for theology, but I like it because it has modern English. It says what the King James says in modern language, and here's what it says, 1 John 1, verse 6 through 7. You can read it from your text. It says, if we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we are obviously lying through our teeth. We are not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life one with another, as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges us of our sin. What is fellowship? The idea of fellowship is one being one with God, out of oneness, koinonia in the Greek. It is a common bond. It speaks of a living, breathing, loving relationship where we hold things in common. And that's why God sometimes make us wait, and not just dispense our needs like you put a quarter in a soda machine. Well, more than a quarter now. In my day, you used to put a quarter in that. When you put money in a soda machine and the drink or the juice comes down or what have you, God doesn't often dispense our need like that, because he says, have some fellowship with me, and then I'll answer your prayer, and you will appreciate it more. And you know, friends, that's the way it is. I can think of a fourth reason why God may make us wait. You know, God sometimes make us wait before answering our prayers, because if he didn't and just answered our prayers right away, we would take him for granted. I remember my son, every time he would jump in that car like that, and he'd be playing his game, and I'm sitting there. I said, you know, this fella is just taking for granted that I'm going to come pick him up and take him home. And then I wouldn't say it was a wicked thought, but a thought came through my mind. Why don't I just, while he's playing his game, just pull off and leave him? And he'll stop taking dear old dad for granted. You know, friends, the same thing will happen if we didn't have to wait on God to answer our prayers. We would just take God for granted. You know, when we think in terms of the manna, how often did the people had to gather the manna? Every day. And then God will give it twice on the seventh day, so there'll be no gathering on the Sabbath day. God was pointing out the fact, though, that we ought to depend on him for our daily bread. Back in the time when I was in Africa again, I remember as we would have breakfast, and we would have all of the natives would be there, and along with the missionaries, we would all gather in a circle, and at the end of the circle, we would say the Lord's Prayer. And I remember one day when I got to the section that says, "And give us this day our daily bread." And finally we said, "Amen." The missionaries went to the cupboard and they pulled out all of their things, because we had to bring our food in the country. It was so poor. And we would go to the cabinets that we brought our food, and we would go and serve our meals. The citizens would have to go and walk 10 miles to town to get their meal. And they did that sometimes two and three times a day. And I remember one day a young man says that we had a speaker. So everyone would have a morning devotion. And someone gave the morning devotion, and the morning devotion went on and on and on. And it was so long that when the fella got to town, everything was gone from the gone from the marketplace. And so and by the way, that long-winded speaker wasn't me. I saw some of you looking. And so he came back, and so we went and to the cabinet and gave him some food that we had, because he says, "There was nothing to feed my family today because I got there late and they had gotten everything from the market." And friends, I want you to know that when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," that is not as powerful when you think in terms of a person who has to wait day by day to get their daily bread. And sometimes God blesses us, and the sun rises, and our car works, and everything that we have planned goes according to plan. And when that goes on day in and day out, after a while, we can begin to take God's blessing for granted. And sometimes God says, "You need to wait just because I want you not to take me for granted." And then, friends, I can think of a fifth one that I'd like to share with you. It was somewhat in our scripture reading that we read today about the eagle. It talks about how the eagle, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And in God sometimes make us wait, because it is often the waiting time is a time for renewal. You know, when we think in terms of that text that we just read, when you think about the eagle, the mother eagle, when she is going to lay her egg, she often builds it on the side of a rock or on a hillside or up in a high tree. And what she does is she goes and gets old branches and thorns and thistles, and she begin to place it there. And even if she can find broken glass and metal, and she puts it at the base of that nest, and then she begins to get some soft grass and put over that. And if she can find any piece of cloth or anything, she puts it over that. And some moss, she would put it in. And after a while, that's a nice little neat padded bed there. And then she lays her egg, and that little eagle is born. And when that little eagle finally comes alive, and he realizes he's just twisting around, "Oh man, how comfortable this bed is," and he's just enjoying herself. She goes and get the worm from him, put it in his mouth, and the little eagle is enjoying himself, and he just enjoys that for a while. And after a while, the mother eagle began to realize, "This little fellow here is not going anywhere. He's enjoying this. He's enjoying the life." And so she would then move some of the grassy parts, and she would move some of the moss. And after a while, the little baby eagle said, "Wait a minute, this bed is not quite like it is here." And then she began to move some of the paddings. And then after a while, the little eagle is sitting in that nest, and man, I can't even hardly, I got to stay in one person. And then after a while, the little eaglet finds itself on the thorns and the thistles and so now she jumps them on the side of the nest. "I can't stay down there." And then the mother eagle comes and swoops them over there, and all of a sudden she realized, now, "Oh, and then I can fly." Then that eagle then soars to the height, highest height. It was not until that eagle had to go through that thorny experience that it experienced renewal. Sometimes, God says, I would have to let you weep because I want you to experience that thorny experience. It's because after going through that thorny experience, it is there that you find renewal. Some of us today may need personal renewal. Maybe there's something in your life that God is allowing you to go through because you need to make a personal change in your life. And so you've been praying and you've been going through this thorny experience and wondering why God hasn't answered that prayer. Maybe it is time for that personal renewal. Maybe you need to go back, friend, and pick up that Bible and read it again. Maybe someone listening by way of the internet, you need to find your way over to this place of worship and worship with us on Sabbath morning because that could be a renewal to you. Maybe there is someone that needs family renewal. Maybe there's an estrangement in your family and you need to get together with that husband and wife and the children and form a circle and begin to ask God to bring healing to that family. You would have never asked that had God not made you wait and go through that thorny experience. God often makes us wait. Maybe today there is somebody that needs spiritual renewal. And so you've been praying for something special to happen in your life. And what you doing this time of waiting, friends, that's a good time to grab the Bible off the shelf. Begin to read it, study the Sabbath school lesson, pray to God more, pray for other people. And as you do that, all of a sudden you will begin to experience spiritual renewal. Yes, waiting is God's way sometimes of stirring the nest so that we can learn to fly, so that we can be strengthened for Him. And so, may I suggest today that if you have asked a prayer and it hadn't been answered, perhaps God is simply saying, have more conversation with me. Perhaps God wants to engage you in a meeting of the mind, and as He talks with you and as you read His word, He talks back to us. Maybe God is saying, take some time to have fellowship with me and fellowship with the brother. Maybe someone here today listening, and you should be in church today, but you decide that I'm going to listen by way of the internet. But maybe God wants you to have some fellowship too here at the church. The church needs you, and you need the church, and God needs us because He says we are two or three gathered together in my name. There I will what? I will be in the midst of them having fellowship. Maybe God is saying, don't take me for granted. Yes, I let the sun shine on the just as well as the unjust. Yes, I feed you and I let you draw a breath of air every day. That's because I love you. But I want you to realize that I'm your provider. Don't take me for granted. And as I finally mentioned, maybe the pain of waiting is God is saying, I'm stirring that nest because I'm looking for you to have a new life in Jesus Christ. I want you to go back to Calvary. I want you to go back to the cross. I want you to see Jesus dying there for your sins. And I want you to just reach out by faith. And today, as I close, there may be someone that's experiencing weakness in your life. There may be someone that's agitated and you don't have the power that you need. There may be someone today who feels that God can't do anything with me. I'm just not of any value. I say today, reach out to the Christ of Calvary. And when you accept Christ by faith, that's all I'm saying, by faith. You don't have to do anything. Just simply says, I believe, I accept you by faith. Come into my heart, and friends, three things happen. One is God gives you peace. Try it, friend. The second thing that happens is you have power. Things that you thought that you couldn't overcome, you have power. And then third, you see possibilities when the Holy Spirit comes in, what God can do for you. That is my
prayer for you. And today, if there's someone that needs to give their hearts to the Lord, and if you are watching and you need to give your heart to God, I want those here today, as I stand at the door to greet you, just let you know that God spoke to me today, and I want to prepare to be baptized. And you can talk with Ben, who will be glad to take your name and prepare you so that you can become a baptized member of this church. If you are here listening, come out to the church here, and we have Bible teachers. Ben Reekman is one. You can just ask for him by name, and he will be glad to lead you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the means whereby we can be renewed, for the means whereby we can develop the mind of Christ. Oh God, help us to appreciate prayer now more today, for it is powerful. It can transform us. It can renew us. For we pray these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.